Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Nora Rahm. A week after Hurricane Ian, power has been restored to all about 2% of customers in Florida. In hard-hit Fort Myers Beach, restoring power won't be possible until structures are rebuilt and safe to be reconnected to the grid. NPR's Greg Allen reports the greatest challenges will be restoring power to southwest Florida's barrier islands.
Florida Governor Ron DeSantis says power restoration has gone at a record pace and is now ready to begin on Pine Island after emergency repairs allowed the causeway to reopen. The biggest challenge may be bringing electricity back to Sanibel Island, where the bridge was washed out, cutting it off from the mainland.
We have taken via Chinook helicopter utility workers onto Sanibel. And they are looking, but I mean, that is going to require a massive effort.
Further north in Sarasota County, DeSantis says supermarkets and other businesses have reopened, and the county says centers to hand out relief supplies are no longer needed. Greg Allen, NPR News.
President Biden visited an IBM plant in Poughkeepsie, New York today to promote his administration's plan to revive semiconductor chip manufacturing in the U.S. He said America invented those chips and should be a leader again.
When factories that make these chips shut down around the world, the global economy literally comes to a screeching halt. More Americans have learned the phrase supply chain and what it means. Well, guess what? The supply chain is going to start here and end here in the United States.
The Biden administration has secured $52 billion in subsidies to rebuild the U.S. semiconductor industry. At one time, the U.S. produced more than a third of all chips in the world. That's now down to about 12%. IBM says it will invest $20 billion over the next 10 years to make and develop advanced technology. Victims' families from the Robb Elementary School shooting and others affected by gun violence met with Democrats in Uvalde, Texas yesterday to rally for gun reform. Texas Public Radio's Marian Navarro reports.
Cristina Delgado's daughter was in middle school in 2018 when a gunman killed 10 people at Santa Fe High School. While unharmed, her daughter says she no longer felt safe at school. Delgado spoke at the event and says state leaders have failed to keep promises they made to protect students after Santa Fe.
We will push and we will meet. We will send emails. We will march. We will advocate.
The activists call for Texans to support common sense gun safety laws, including increased background checks and raising the minimum age to purchase semi-automatic weapons. Governor Greg Abbott's office said in a statement federal courts have barred efforts to raise the minimum age and continues to work on solutions to address mental health. I'm Marian Navarro in San Antonio.
This is NPR News. The World Health Organization is investigating the deaths of more than 60 children in Gambia who had consumed contaminated cough and cold syrups. It's identified four medicines, all produced in India. A statement said so far only the West African country has reported deaths, but these products may have been distributed to other countries. In Prague today, there was a rare face-to-face meeting between the leaders of Turkey and Armenia, two countries with a long history of antagonism. It was a notable step towards easing deeply rooted tensions. NPR's Peter Kenyon reports.
It was the first meeting between Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan and Armenian leader Nikol Pashinyan since the countries agreed to try to improve relations. The Azerbaijani president was also present at the meeting. Turkey and Armenia have had no diplomatic relations since the 1990s. A peace deal in 2009 was never ratified. There have, however, been four rounds of talks since last year between special envoys for both countries. Thus far, such talks have failed to relieve decades of animosity, even as some have argued that improved ties could bring substantial economic benefits to both states. Peter Kenyon, NPR News, Istanbul.
President Biden announced pardons today for those convicted of simple marijuana possession under federal law and D.C. statute. Since most such convictions happen at the state level, he's asking the nation's governors to do the same. Biden said sending people to prison for possession has upended too many lives. I'm Nora Rahm, NPR News in Washington.